So there are two kinds of interviews. The informal interviews, which you guys do in the field, you know, what are you doing? What are you going to do? What did you just do? So that these people articulate their own stories, they tell their own stories. There's also the formal interviews, the formal sit-down interviews, which frankly, I don't like to use all the time because I find that, you know, some of the pieces that I've done, they start out really nice, and particularly some of the pieces that my students do, they start out really powerful. They've got a great controlling idea. They've got wonderful pictures. And then about 30 seconds into the piece, you have some guy sitting in front of a camera, staring at the camera like this, and it's awful.
It kills the pace.
It stops it completely.
Yeah.
It freezes it. And it's just like, it turns you off, okay? What I like to do is, I like to interview, if you use these cameras appropriately, you can do formal interviews, sit down interviews, you can talk to these people and you can generate all the foundational, the informational foundation of these pieces by doing this interview. I'll show you a piece later on in the workshop that I did with the 24th Marine Expeditionary Unit in Afghanistan. And I interviewed the commanding officer probably for 15, 20 minutes every other day. I've got, you know, hours of him, because I spent 3 weeks with him, hours of him talking to camera, giving me information about what his company did that day, what they were going to do the following day, the situation in Afghanistan, the whole nine yards.
On a tripod?
I didn't have a tripod because I couldn't carry it, too much stuff. You know, I carried what I had in my backpack, you know, my computer, external hard drives, batteries, the camera, that was it. I had a helmet, had a flak jacket, you know, all that stuff. Water, I carried some food, everything. So it was really, really lightweight stuff. It was this methodology, backpack video journalism, you know, taken to the extreme. But my point is, I have hours of this guy telling me what's happening, and I never use a second of him looking to camera and telling me what's going on. Never. Why? Because I didn't need to. So I used that information, I wrote it into my narration. Mm-hmm. Again.
Did you put his voice under any action?
No.
Oh, really?
Wow.
No.
So it wasn't a waste of time, though.
I could have. No, it was not a waste of time because number one, it helped me cultivate my relationship with him, which turned out to be fantastic. The guy said, look, if you're crazy enough to be here, this is a quote, if you're crazy enough to be here with us, I'll let you do anything you want to do as long as you don't get in my Marine's way. That's it. If I don't put these guys in danger, I can do anything that I want. I had complete, total freedom and access, just like I had with Chain Gang. It's extraordinary.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I had the ability to select, I want to go with this platoon today, I want to go with this platoon tomorrow. He said, okay, fine, go on. And as long as I didn't get in front of anybody, trip anybody up, as long as I didn't put any Marines in danger, I was okay. It was unbelievable. It was the best and better.
You were in front of them, were you?
I was aside the guys, the first guys who were going into a market that had to go through and check out.
Okay.
Beside them, not in front of them.
Yeah.
But side by side, it's amazing.
I mean, this kind of looks like a shoulder launched weapon of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be. Yeah. At any rate. These interviews, these formal interviews, you can use them, you know, doing face-to-face, particularly when it's like a profile of somebody, that's okay. So there are ways to do this properly and there are ways to do it improperly. What I want to talk about today is a proper way to do the formal sit-down interview. Who wants to practice? Who wants to practice? Who wants to show me how to set up for an interview?
I'll
use the camera.
You'll use the camera?
Sure.
Kalpana, will you be the subject, please? If you sit here, and the camera's here, the tripod's here, okay. So go ahead, go to work. Set it up for us, just show us how this thing is done. And we'll be able to see it here.
Let's see. I guess I would put maybe some light over here and get maybe a little bit of shade on this side of the face.
Okay.
Almost like a portrait, I guess.
That was very helpful.
She's not going to have light.
Are you
going to use
the...
I'm assuming.
Well, it could be window light. You know, that would be even better. You know, so maybe open that. You know.
Tell me what you're gonna do. You want me to open this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We have.
Though it's mixed light, but that's okay.
Yeah. Bruce and I had to put this blockage of light here.
Yeah.
But what would you do then? So set them up next to a window. Next to something
like so. Oh, not necessarily. I mean, just in this case.
Yeah.
That's it. It goes in just like your shoe. Like your foot into a shoe.
Yeah, it wants to come right up in the front, though.
Okay. Let's see if this sits here now. There you go.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Zoom on this puppy.
We'll be careful with that, man.
What?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, adjust.
Okay.
I'll tell you, this is really important. I watched a student with an EX1, a new EX1. We were setting up for an interview, and she was repositioning the tripod. And she grabbed the tripod and like moved it like back like that, and it vibrated just like this one just did. And she had it was about this high. And we watched in slow motion a brand new EX1 with a wireless microphone receiver on a Sennheiser go like this. Ooh.
Oh no!
And then when it hit the floor, it exploded. Boof! Like this.
Oh,
pieces
God.
Of plastic everywhere. So that really was like, so from then on, it was like, hold the camera with one hand, hold the tripod with the other, you know, and then move it that way.
Okay? I can't believe you haven't busted a camera on all this backpack travel and going to, you know, war zones.
Dude, knock on wood, I've been very, very fortunate. You know, I've never,
it's really
you know, I've held up at gunpoint twice, but they didn't get cameras. They just took money.
Yeah.
But I never lost a camera. I never, my equipment never went down on the field.
Right.
Very, very lucky.
Been shot at?
Lots of times.
Yeah. Just glad you didn't break a camera.
That's right.
Yeah, actually, now
you
it's
sleep
floating
better.
On the jam.
The jam's loosening up?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what you gotta pay attention to with these things. What I do is when I bring these things to the field, both when I'm setting up and breaking down, what I'll do is I'll let gravity do the work for me because I'm normally in a rush to do this stuff, right?
Yeah.
So if you just let gravity help you, you can do it quickly. This one is really, it's a special kind of, I had the university buy three of these for my backpack documentary classes. When you use a tripod, just like when you use a camera, we talked about how do you stand yesterday, kind of like this, kind of like, remember the what is it, it's warrior pose in yoga, right?
Okay.
You know, and you keep your hips like this, same thing you do with when you set up the shoot. This little camera here has a level here. It allows you to level this thing very quickly. One of the most important points about setting up a tripod is number one, point one of the legs of the tripod toward your subject, okay? And that way, particularly if you're using this thing and it's all opened up like this, and you're on an unlevel field, this is level and it's flat. Most of the time, outside, it's not level and flat, but if you have one leg of this tripod pointed toward your subject, then you can get in here, and when you've got this thing, this camera on top of the tripod like this, you can actually, this is backwards, I think. Yeah, there you go. You can actually, you've got this hand free, you can actually get in here between these legs and move around and access this stuff here without kicking this thing around. If this thing is like this, you know, you've got to fight with your own equipment to get in there. But again, if it's like this, pointed toward your subject, and you're on unlevel ground here, what you can do is you can pull it this way, and you can see what this is doing to the level of the camera. Look at it. You can pull this leg like this to level it up, maybe a little bit more. You can pull this leg back if you want to change something. You see? But if these legs aren't open properly, then that makes life a lot more difficult. So if you start out holding this thing, you know, setting this thing up properly, it's gonna make the entire process a lot easier.
Wow.
Yeah?
Good news.
Yeah.
Normally when you go into these places, you and your subject are cramped for time. And I really suggest to everybody, you arrange an interview, you go in, and if the interview is for noon, you better be there no later than 11:30. You want to be there at least a half an hour before the interview starts to set up. It takes a long time to get this stuff set up. You have to move people around, you have to move stuff around, you have to move lights around. Give yourself at least a half an hour, an hour. Is even better. Okay,
wow.
You get in, you say hello, you shake people's hands, you set all this stuff up. You have a couple of minutes to sit down, collect your thoughts, figure out what you're going to do. All right. So here we are. We got this thing set up. This tripod is especially cool. Excuse me, Rhett, for getting in front of you like
That's
this.
Okay.
this one is especially cool because I can grab this core, I can loosen this thing up, and there's a bubble here. I look where the bubble is, and there's a level. I level that up. See that thing right there?
Oh, right.
So I level that up, and guess what? I'm perfectly level, okay? I want to keep this thing kind of loose so I can swivel back and forth without jerking this thing around, just like that. I barely touch it, and I can move it.
Wow.
And I want to open this thing up so that I can change the level of this without jerking the thing around, okay? So, what do you think? Are we good?
I guess if you were going to use the zone system, you do what something like that, or even tighter.
60 minutes.
Something like that.
I like that.
Got chin, got cut off the top of the head, slightly off center.
Got the staircase.
Which gives you something behind it.
Uh-huh. Rule of thirds.
Am I?
And you don't put her in the center, right? She's just a little.
Never. You know, I might lower the camera actually, because it's kind of it's slightly looking down on her, and you probably don't want that. You probably want to be, I guess, eye level. What do you think about that?
I think it looks eye level. Tell you the truth.
Okay.
Man, you look great. You look like a movie star.
And I can't even look at myself. True. I'm trying to see.
The light is even good, right?
Well, you know, here's the
thing. I like it.
The first thing you do when you walk into an interview situation, you do this. You know, Chad, you're right about where we put her. You know, we didn't have time to discuss the rule of third. Well, we did yesterday, briefly, I think. No. Whose pictures did we see?
We did on the Washington Monument shot.
Yes.
Yvonne.
Yeah. You know what you're after here is this. You want this person on one third of the screen. Remember the game we used to play? Tic-tac-toe, X and O's, mm-hmm. Remember that? You never want the person in the center of the screen. You know why? Because it's really, really, really boring. There's no motion here, nothing's happening. It's really visual death, right? So what you want is, you want that person in one third of the frame, kind of like this, right? About like that. You want this person looking into this empty space here. And what you want is, you want the light source coming from there. So the person is looking into the light. These are all critical components of how to make this stuff look right. Okay? Let's see what.
Yeah, she's a little backlit from that one.
She right is.
There. I would have maybe moved her back, you know, to get side lighting or something.
The closer she is to this camera, you know, the wider angle you have to use. So if she's a little bit further away, that's okay, because the longer lenses will help compress her features as opposed to broaden her face like that.
But that's so true. Ideally, you'd have the light source where you're at, Bill.
Ideally, what you do is this. The first thing that you do when you go into a formal interview situation, the number one thing that you do is you want to determine the source of the light. Okay? We have all kinds of light here. There are three kinds of light. There's natural light, there's artificial light, and there's ambient light or existing light, whatever. We have a mixture of this stuff now. We have ambient light. We've got natural light coming in from out there, and from here, we have artificial light. These are tungsten. These are white lights. We have existing or ambient light. We got a mixture of this. We have to control the situation somehow, because this looks kind of cold and plastic to me. Okay, there's very little motion, and it's not your fault, just the way this light looks. So what do we do? What do we do?
Take that thing and put it over here.
Maybe. Yeah, I would maybe right here.
Let's assume that we don't have these things. Can we turn this off? What if you don't bring these things with you? Mm-hmm. You don't have these lamps.
Open a window.
We open this one window here. We move this around a little bit.
You could change the white balance too. You know,
now she's all yellow because of these tungsten lights, because tungsten burns yellow, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Whoa, man. That's,
yeah.
So that doesn't look good, does it?
No. Nope.
Colors, yeah.
All right. What if we kill this stuff?
Oh.
That's actually pretty
nice. Better.
Bluey.
Pretty dramatic.
Well, you would recolor balance it, because that's natural light, basically, right?
What if we covered some of this stuff? I'm going to need you guys' help here. What if we drape this over the back of that wall where Bruce is? And we cut out one source of light, that source of light. What if we did that? Some of you guys are going to have to.
It'll be just on one side of her face.
Yeah, you get, what is it? What is it, like one stop difference from one side of the face to the other or something?
Oh, I didn't know.
You know?
for the sake of demonstration, and so that we don't have to rip those pieces of paper down from that window, we're going to pretend that this is an open window light. Okay?
Okay.
We're going to pretend this is an open window light. And we're going to block out that light in the back. This is the light that would be coming through that window. Okay? If it were sunnier and all the rest of that. Okay. Now we have some light here, right? How are we for the interview? How does that look? And we block this stuff out here as best we can with limited
better
tools. Are we okay? How are you gonna frame it? Rhett, is that okay?
You're not weird about it being bright on one side of her face, kind of shiny? She's real shiny.
I'm not weird about it.
Okay.
Is that okay?
I don't know. The picture quality to me is still way grainy.
Yeah. It's going to be grainy because there's not much light in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I would do. Again, you walk into a situation where you're going to do a formal sit-down interview. I'm going to turn this on just for a bit so that we get a sense of where we are and so forth. First thing you do is figure out where the source of the light is, okay? In this case, we have one window here. We're pretending that this thing is a window, right? Because it's pretty gray outside and we don't have a lot of natural light coming in, which we would actually prefer, right? So this is a window, right? So what I would do here, I would do a couple of things if I were gonna interview Kalpana. What first thing I would do is I would move her. I would move her around because I can move her around a lot easier than I can move furniture around. So I'm going to ask Kalpana to sit here. Okay? She's going to sit there. I'm going to use the light from this window. Okay? And I'm going to use that light. I have to operate with this. This is what I have. This is all that I have. Okay? This window here. That's the light that I've got to work with. So what I'm going to do is, it's a little bit brighter of a day out there. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to ask her, you sit, you're okay, okay. I'm going to have her turn toward the light.
Oh yeah.
Okay? She's looking at the light, and she's looking a little bit over her shoulder when she looks toward the camera, right? She's going to look a little bit over her shoulder. You never make a picture of your family, your member, whoever it is, in front of the Washington Monument, standing there like this with the monument behind them. It's always like this. You always frame like this with that person looking a little bit toward this empty space, looking a little bit toward the light. Okay? It's just the way it works. So what we're gonna do with
that.
Oops, sorry. Yeah, so what we're gonna do is I'm gonna pull back just a little bit, and I'm gonna frame her just like that. And, you know, Kalpana might say, but wait a minute, I can't be here in front of in front of the fireplace. I want to be in front of my books. I'm an attorney. I want my books to show up. Well, the fact of the matter is, you know what, I'm going to put this thing on manual focus. The stuff behind me is going to be out of focus, so don't worry about it. So we're not going to see your law books anyway. We can move, you know, we can move the president of the bank or the president of the law firm around his or her office, and we're not going to pay attention to the background. I want to shoot her really tight. We want to have a true close-up here. Because I don't want to shoot her like this. You know why? Because I've already got, 2 hours of her running around the law firm or doing whatever she does. I already know what she looks like from a distance. I've already got that stuff. What I want is this, especially if I'm going to do something that's going to be intense or emotional. I want to see the expression of her face, right? And I want this to be, I want her to be looking into the light. And I want there to be some shadow on the other side of her.
And it's okay to cut her head off like that.
Totally. Well, you tell me. I mean, you know, if I'm doing an interview and I want this person to be intimate, I think it gives us some emotion. And I think, you know, the picture gives us a sense of motion here and emotion. Now, if I turn her around, if she turns away from that light, turn your chair like this, please. Uh-huh. that's it. Now, if I do this thing like this, and we have the interview like this, this is a misuse of the light.
Yeah.
Why? Because she's looking into darkness.
Yeah.
If she's looking at me, she's looking into darkness. And any person who's looking into darkness, what do you know about that person?
Sinister.
Sorry?
Sinister.
He's lying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's not telling you the truth.
Yeah.
He's looking into the darkness.
They probably sell drugs.
I mean, so we want Kalpana and all decent human beings, we want her to be looking toward the light. That's it. I'd ignore it, David. We want her to be looking toward the light, okay? So we've got her looking into the light. We have all this other stuff controlled around us. We don't, you know, we don't have a bunch of noise in the background. Okay, you know, we, you know, it's noisy, as we would call it, because, you know, we had to jack up the gain here, okay? The camera had to be more, has to be more sensitive. She's looking into this empty space. Now we're going to begin the interview, all right? So, and this is got to be eye level. Rhett's right. I mean, we don't want this thing to be higher or lower than her, because there's an implication if the camera is higher looking down at her, there's something is implicit about that, right? And if the camera is down looking up at her, there's something implicit about that as well. All right? So we want to be on a level basis with her. We're making no moral decisions about who she is or what she does, you know, in terms of, you know, adjusting the light of this thing, okay? So the first question that she's going to ask me is what? Think about it. You know, I put the camera in front of you. What, you know?
Do I look good?
Do I look good? You always look good, man.
No, but that's what they ask.
Yeah, do I look okay?
Do I look okay? All right.
I would say, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I'll say.
What else? You do these things. You do political stuff. What's the interviewee gonna ask the guy behind the camera?
They say, what are you gonna ask me?
Are you ready?
You ready? What else?
Where's this going?
Okay. How about what do you want me to look at?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I looking at you or am I looking at the camera?
Exactly.
Right? Okay, if you're working with a correspondent, try this. So, if I'm asking the questions here, and Kalpana, you know, can you tell us who you are, please? And she's looking at me. Look at the screen. What's happening there?
She's looking up.
How's the screen look like?
Her eyes.
Dude, there's no contact with the audience.
Right.
She's talking to the man on the moon.
Yeah.
Okay, if the correspondent or the video journalist is standing here, it's even worse. Can you tell us your name, please?
Yes, Kalpana Biswas.
Look at where she's looking. Mm-hmm. She's looking way off camera. There's no connection. The idea here is to get this person connected with the audience, the people who are watching this thing. Okay? So what do I tell her when she says, what am I looking at?
Me, the camera.
That's two different things, me or the camera?
Well, if you're right behind it and you're going to be behind it the whole time, she can look at you.
Okay, here's the key. You tell her that she has to be looking at you. You want to have a conversation with her. You want her to look into your eyes. And the key to this is that there's an invisible line here from this camera lens to her eyes, to her face, and from her eyes to mine. Because, as you say, I'm looking right over the top of this LED screen, there's an intersection of those two lines of vision, and it looks like they're talking not just at me, but more importantly, to people in TV land who are watching this thing. Right? They're connected. If I'm working with a correspondent, right? If I'm working with a correspondent, you know, I'm going to put the correspondent right here, right in front of this thing, so that, you know, she's looking at him, but I still make that line of intersection. You guys normally going to be working by yourselves, okay? So I want to be having a conversation with her. So I tell her to look at me. We've got this intersection going on. We've got her looking into this negative space. We control the light here. We listen for sound. If there's a radio on, you ask somebody, can we kill this? If there's a television on, you ask him, can we turn this thing off? If there are kids playing, unless it's really important, unless they're critically important to what the story that you're trying to tell, let the kids play around, that's fine. But if they're not, get them out of the room. Okay? Listen to this. There's not a lot of ambient sound going on here, and that's cool. And if she's properly mic'd, these microphones don't read people's mouths, they read their voice boxes here. You want to make sure they're not close to her jewelry, to her chains, to her pearl necklaces, whatever, because it's going to have a clinking sound. Make sure you can't see it. If you have a piece of moleskin, the stuff that we put on the backs of our heels here, we buy a new pair of shoes, you know, take this thing here, take this pin off, you know, put the moleskin on and tape it to the inside of her clothes. Moleskin is porous, sound goes through it, and it won't capture any clinking or rustling sound. Okay? Go ahead.
And it's here as opposed to up here, you know, like on a cup, like it's you here. Need some space.
Do this.
Yep.
It's this far away.
Yep.
It's this far away. That's where it is.
Yep.
Okay? It's reading your voice box. Okay, so we're going to start the interview. She asked me, okay, Bill, where do you want me to look? I say, I want you to look me right in the eyes. All right? So, Kalpana, who are you, please?
I'm a documentary filmmaker. Live in Pittsburgh. I'm working on a project on women filmmakers from Afghanistan.
Good. What's your name?
It's Kalpana Biswas.
No. What's your name?
Kalpana Biswas.
My name is Kalpana. You're going to catch these people all the time. They're going to give you answers. You know, it can't be my name is, it can't be Kalpana Biswas. It can't be how old are you, you know, 27. It doesn't mean anything. It's got to be, my name is Kalpana Biswas. How old are you? I'm 27 years old. What do you do? I'm a documentary filmmaker. You get them to do this three times at the beginning of this thing, okay? Get them to answer this thing. Now say, can you say this in a whole sentence, please? Identify yourself. Tell me what you do.
My name is Kalpana Biswas, and I'm a documentary filmmaker, 27 years old.
Great. Fantastic. Okay. You know, be careful with these backgrounds. You don't want busy backgrounds because it distracts the hell out of people. You don't want to put a person in front of like a chalkboard that has writing on it because they're going to go, what the hell does that say back there? You know what I mean? So when you do these interviews, you start with the easy questions first, right? And you've got something right here. What do I keep here when I'm doing these interviews all the time?
Reporter's notebook.
A reporter's notebook, and it's got what?
It has your questions in it.
And they go from what to what?
Easiest to hardest?
This woman, she's been through this before. Exactly. They go from the easy questions to the hard questions. What did I do before I actually sat down for this interview, though?
Research.
Research, what else? I asked her to do something. I asked Kalpana to do something. Ivan, what do you think? If she hasn't already done this, I asked her to sign a release.
Yeah.
Okay? Strategic. Okay? And you treat it, you know, in a very flip manner. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm sorry, I got to ask you, let's get this thing done before we start. You know, we live in a litigious society. Everybody wants to sue everybody. I got to have you sign this thing, you know, just to make sure that I don't have a gun pointed to your head. And you did this interview without my consent. So, you know, take a second, a couple of seconds while I fidget around with this stuff. Sign the release, read it, and then we'll get on, okay? Because if you don't get it done before the interview, if the interview goes south, you know, and she ends up being angry at the end of the interview, she's going to rip it up and throw it at you. See, and yeah. you don't have an interview anymore. Yeah. Colin Powell, a friend of mine interviewed Colin Powell, and they asked him to sign the release before the interview. He goes, I'll sign it after the interview.
That's what I've faced. Wow. That a number of people don't want to sign it before because they don't know what the interview is going to be about.
I know.
Wow.
That's the, you know, you
any
try.
Any idea, do you really have to watch what they
Maybe
say?
That's part of the new journalism too.
You try to get them.
Wise it is.
Yeah, you got to try to get them to sign that thing before. You know, if you can get them to sign it before, you actually sit down before, maybe before you're in this room. And if you know if they say no, then you know you just it's a throw of the dice. So you know you have to measure and weigh what the cost of that's going to be. So we're having this conversation. And I've got, you know, I want to keep her chin, don't I? So I'm going to probably open this thing up a little bit like that. Okay? I want to keep her chin. I can cut off her ear a little bit. I can cut off the top of her head. It's okay. I want to see her face. I want to see her eyes. I want to see her emotion. When I go on this list from the easiest questions to the hardest questions, by the time I get to the end of the list and I ask her, did you really rip off all that money? You know, I want to see her wince. I want to see her do whatever she's going to do or grit her teeth. You know what I mean? I don't want to see this. I don't want to see that.
Right.
We've already seen. I know what she looks like. I want to see this.
But if you have to frame it so that there's going to be text underneath. So
sorry.
If there's going to be.
You want to be able to identify.
Yeah,
her.
Yeah. There might be. Maybe, if she speaks a different language, I want to put the text under there.
I think
there.
You're going to frame it a little bit more.
Open up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Show me what it'll do.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's still a key.
You know, different companies, you know, you go to one shop and they'll say, no, it's got to be tight. Then you go to another and say, no, we got to have this space. So it depends, you know, PBS has its own rules. National Geographic has its rules. But basically what you don't want, I think, is a real wide shot, unless, you know, she's Italian and she articulates with her hands a lot. And then you probably want to open this thing up. At the end of the interview, you know, one of the keys to doing these interviews, you really have to know where you want to go with the interview. Before you sit down with these people, you have to know, just like these stories, like we were talking about, Chad, in the kitchen just a little while ago. You want to know what the end point is. What is it you want from these guys? You have to have a clear idea. You know, these people are giving you 20, 30 minutes at a time, not just so they can have a conversation with you. You've got to have an idea of where you want this interview to go. What do you want out of this person? Where do you want to end this thing up? And you work your way, that's what your reporter's notebook is about. You work your way toward that final goal. You know where you want to go, and you question your way, and you talk your way to that final goal, okay? I did a story about foreign correspondents in Afghanistan, and I went with a Washington Post reporter to interview some guy who was accused of attacking a female candidate who was running for the same office that he was running for. And it was pretty common knowledge this guy had been behind a campaign, a secret campaign, to scare her, to intimidate her, to keep her from running for office. And this girl from the Washington Post spent probably an hour and a half with this guy. And she knew exactly what she wanted out of this guy. She wanted to get this guy to say, you know, yes, you know, I'm intimidating her. No, I'm not intimidating her. I think what she's doing and women running for office is great. Or I don't like the idea that women are running for office in Afghanistan. Okay? And it took her an hour and a half to get to that final point. You know, and she said, well, you know, we've heard some people say that you're behind this campaign of intimidation, you know, against this woman who wants to run for office. Is that true? But this is an hour and a half after she started the interview. And then he said, no, I deny it. And she insisted a little bit, but this is what these people say. So you think women running for office in Afghanistan, you think that's okay? That's where she wanted to go. It took her an hour and a half to get there. Wow. You have to know where you want to go with these interviews, because she talked to this guy about his personal life, his family, his political campaign, how he would change things if he won the office. All of this stuff was a prelude to, really, are you intimidating this female candidate? She was doing a story about female candidates running for office in Afghanistan, and they're all being intimidated and attacked. You got to know where you want to go. After you get to where you want to go, you ask two critical questions to this person. And what are they? There are two questions you ask at the end of every interview.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
A matter of courtesy, isn't it? Okay, you know, did I miss something? Anything else you want to talk about? And when you suggest topics to these people, you know, don't be careful not to lead them into where you think you want to go. You know, ask these people. The simplest way to get some reaction from these folks is just say, you know, we've heard about, you know, this intimidation of women. And we don't know that it's true or not, you know, but can you talk about that a little bit? Ask him to talk about something. Can you talk about that a little bit? Talk about that. And then they'll start. Okay? Get to the end of the interview. Did we miss anything? And there's one more question that you ask him. What is that question?
What do you want to ask me?
That should be covered in the one we just asked, I think.
What is the most important thing we need to know?
You ask him this. You're close. You ask him this. You say, what are your greatest concerns and fears about this? What are your greatest concerns and fears? And for the first time, you may get these people to actually stop and dig into themselves and think, as opposed to giving you the canned, you know, I've answered this question 500 times already. You know, what are your greatest concerns and fears about this issue? And they'll give you a solid answer, I think. And then you say, okay, you know what, the interview's done, but I want to make some pictures of you. I want to get some ambient sound, and I want to do a little bit of video portrait. Okay, so I'm going to open up the camera just a little bit, and I'm just going to talk about the things that we discussed here. We talked about your job, as your role as a female filmmaker. And we talked about women who make films. We're rolling now, okay? We're rolling. And we discussed the intimidation of women in Afghanistan during elections. and we talked about what you would do as a candidate if you actually won the seat in the parliament. So I'm just going to sit here for a bit. If you want to, you know, just think about those things, and we'll get some ambient sound that I may need here to mix this thing up, and we'll do that for about 60 seconds. And the material you get from this could be extremely usable when you want to cut this thing together, because you'll watch this person's face change a little bit, and he or she will shift maybe in their chair. And you can use this stuff just looking, not talking. And it could be great stuff.
Especially if she said, yes, I do intimidate people, and so I'm nodding my head.
Do you think the gap pulls stuff out of them? I mean, it creates a, you know...
That's the intention.
Yeah,
okay. That's to provoke emotions, provoke a bit of a reaction to, mm-hmm. you know, just some change of their facial expression that you might feel appropriate as you can cut into, you know, the final version of the interview.
Because I've heard that was a journalist's trick, is to not to nod or to say, yeah, oh, okay, or whatever.
Just, well, you raise a good
just
point.
Just look straight at them, you know.
Yeah.
Because they'll sometimes continue on.
Yeah.
Deeper.
Yeah. You raise a good point. You know, you don't want, you have to be careful, and I recognize this, not in your work, but doing a review of students' work the other night. You got to be careful not to step on your interviewee. You can't say, uh-huh, uh-huh. You have to learn how to sit there and go, and if you doubt something, you go, you know.
Shame them.
You know, you use your body language to communicate, because your verbal language is going to show up on the tape. So when you got a minute of this stuff, of silence, and her hopefully squirming in her seat because she really did steal all that money and intimidate those candidates, then you're done. Any questions? Bruce?
I often use, at the end of the interview, ask them again to say their name and title.
Yeah.
Because they're very much more relaxed.
Yeah.
And you get a much better...
Yeah. And they'll slow it down at the end of the interview, too. That's a very good point. I try to get this thing at the beginning, get it at the end, and, you know, and if it sounds too rapid fire to me, you just say, take a breath, you know, you give it to me slower. And you got to be careful about having these people run on forever and ever. You know, don't ask them for sound bites, because it sounds too, I think people recoil against that idea of giving sound bites. You know, if they're running on, you know, tell them, look, I'm going to ask you these questions, and take a minute to think about the answer, because if you give me answers that are real long, I can't cut them, I can't use them. So if you can condense them a bit, make them more, a little bit more compact, they're going to be a lot more usable, okay? So when I ask you, how do you feel about women running for office in Afghanistan? Think before you answer. And then kind of turn away. You know, this relationship here can be one of the most gratifying components of everything that you do, because there's an intimacy about this. There's an intimacy about this relationship. And there's a level of gratification and satisfaction you get. These aren't always bad guys. These are some good guys here. You know what I mean? You're talking to these guys, and you want to draw them out, and it's a really compelling dynamic here if you do this properly. Thank you for being our subject.
Yeah.